Somebody said it's okay to lie down in the middle of the floor.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
That's Morgan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nice to
hear. All right. Let me know, Daniel, when we're ready.
I'm ready.
Pump sound is really funny.
That's the AC pump.
It's going to get drowned out.
Yeah, I think.
Do you think we might make some sounds that are going to override through my sound?
Yeah.
Oh,
now you have to.
Okay, this is my master fader.
That's
right?
The master fader. Daniel.
Do you want to put on the last
one?
Yeah.
Okay. I got it. I'm starting it relatively low.
Okay.
So, okay. All right. Good.
Are we gonna need earplugs for this?
Yes.
I don't know.
You do. I'm sorry. All right, welcome everyone. Thank you so much for coming to this like super draw evening performance. I am going to shut those lights out though. Oh, did they just go down? Alright, so thank you all for coming. This is of course my program that we're gonna watch and see some stuff on. So what I've done is I have made over the last I've done four sessions here at the gallery using SuperDraw to create an audiovisual instrument, a patch. That patch has 16 controls on it, and the patch responds to MIDI notes and controls and pen pressure and drawing. So what I've done is I've given SuperDraw and notes on this patch to four different composers and musicians. Two of which are here this evening and are going to be performing live their pieces, as well as myself. And two who are not present, we're going to start with their pieces. They sent videos of the pieces, and we're going to start with Ezekiel Honig, who is a longtime collaborator of mine. Some of you know. Thank you all for coming, and thank you, Gallery, and to Daniel, who is also here, setting something up. Daniel,
a little bit of wine in this corner. Anybody's interested?
Daniel's offering us wine.
He's offering wine as we speak.
Daniel also created this amazing sound system that you guys are going to hear all this stuff on. So he deserves a whole bunch of credit for that, and super excited. So our first piece by Ezekiel Honig is Untitled. So what we're going to do is we're going to play a couple pieces, and then I'm going to do a very short little teaser set, and then we'll talk, and we'll have like a discussion, and you guys can ask questions about what the hell you're looking at and hearing. But for now, let's watch this piece. So this is Ezekiel Honig. Channels was actually using Adobe Audition. Aha, there we go. Which is a weird little program. So here we go. Alright, so this is Ezekiel Honig. Thank you. So now I'm gonna give you guys just a quick, just do a little mini live set, and then I'll give us a chance to talk. Let's see if I can do this. I've been sort of shorthand calling this the synth version of SuperDraw, but the idea here is that everything that you see on the screen is creating a waveform that is then actually fed into a synthesis engine, and you're hearing that waveform. So when I'm performing, I can actually see the waveform. And these guys have been also sometimes looking at the waveform, but all of these knobs the spiral pattern that you see on the screen essentially creates a sine wave, because the relationship that I've set up is every point in the line, it looks at every previous point and looks at the angle that is changing between the points. And so when you look at angles that are changing smoothly all at once, you get something like a sine wave. So when pattern gets disrupted and becomes jagged.
Here, I'm gonna turn my volume way down so I can show you guys. So I can kind of demo this. So I'm gonna go back to the opening. This is the opening patch. So it's a very low note. And that note, I'm gonna shut off some things. So I'm gonna shut off that thing. So now we have just this kind of spiral pattern. The spiral pattern is actually creating a, I can actually drag this over to the other window. Let me see if I can do this. So you guys can see. Maybe not. Where's my mouse? Alright, I thought maybe I would be able to. Oh, there we go. Okay. So this is what I'm looking at. And when I'm performing here, you guys see that orange squiggly line right in the middle? That is the sine wave that pattern that you're looking at generates. So the pattern is, you can see the graphics over here on the ceiling there, and then you can see the squiggly line. Now watch what happens when I add a little bit of noise to the pattern. So you see not only does the spiral get noisy and disrupted, but the waveform itself, you can see the motion of the line now is actually really noisy. So similarly, I can add another sine wave to that by introducing an effect. So it changes the pattern that you're looking at, but it also changes the sound. And I can raise and lower the phase of that sound. And so this squiggly line is not super accurate. There's a lot more going on there. You're seeing kind of a rough view of it for some people. But there's our sine wave again. So that's a tighter angle on the sine wave, and you can hear it. That is a giant square wave. It's very, very low. If I play a super high note on this keyboard, you might be able to hear it. If I modify this, you can see how that wave. I turned on, it's funny how much that looks like your original drawing. Do you have it? Do you have your drawing? So when Daniel made this system and invited a bunch of people to activate this room, he sent around this this drawing. And the drawing was of, yes, the drawing is of a, I don't know if you guys can see this.
You can hand this around.
Yeah, we can hand it around. It's of the room from the perspective of the mixer and the sub. So the sub is like there, and the mixer is right there. So, and it has the numbers of the speakers in the line. So my original intent was to make a 3D thing, which I can do with SuperDraw, but I found this to actually be much more interesting. So what those diamonds are is they correspond to channels and speakers. So the four central diamonds correspond to the upper speakers. So when we make a noise that happens in the center, we should hear it only in the top speakers. And then as the noise or the geometry moves out, out to the speakers surrounding it, the four on the outermost edges, those speakers are below us, are the speakers that are close to the ground. So the idea was that an expanding ring would start up on the top and then move down into the room in the same scene. So does anybody want to pass this around? You can get it later.
Sure.
Does anybody have any questions? Or should we move on to the other live things?
What do the different colors indicate?
Oh, color is a really important thing in Sparrow. So I had to it's worth noting that the it's worth noting that in Superdraw, everything is generated backwards from a traditional synthesizer. I'm actually generating sound from the graphics. I'm not generating the sound first and then visualizing the sound. I'm actually generating sound from the actual graphics. So color becomes really, really important. And what I've chosen to do is link color to frequency. So this is white, and it's no color, and I've chosen that white plays the lowest note. From there, I chose to. My original intent was actually to have white be noise, and then color be fully tonal, and then move from there. And I do have modes where I explore that. But in this version, sound, the frequency is controlled by color. So when I press a note, so that pitch was dictated by the note that I pressed, this C. If I pressed a D, you may not notice it, it's a slightly different shape. If I go like an octave lower, so it's a different shape. If I go really low,
so I presume that you could record something and then play on top of it too?
Yeah. I don't do that very much, but I do also play with other people. Todd Blumberg, who will be playing our first live set, actually, he and I have a band. Is it a band? What's called a band? I don't know, it doesn't seem like a band, it seems like something else. But
project.
It's a project. No, it's a band, and we play together live weird audio visual music and stuff. So
we do a monthly performance series.
That's right.
Do a lot of physics at the Light Factory in Ocean Hill. We'll be starting up again in September.
Yeah. So and it's more weird stuff like this.
And Z-Coding, whose piece was first, is a regular playing now. So
yeah,
Ken plays there quite a bit as well.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And yeah, I've also used video inputs in this too. It's really fun to make the video actually, the colors of the video make the tones. It gets really weird. What else?
Just the ancestry, like is this derived from something from the 40s, 50s, 60s?
No, I know I'm definitely not the first to create, you know, like a color organ or something like that. I know there's a rich history of audiovisualism or visualism. I happened on these ideas and just kind of became obsessed with actually the preferences about how those controllers are used. So Todd's not even going to use these controllers. Don't
be worried, sir.
Fun.
it have a title?
Did
you name it?
Oh, that was totally improvised. That was not a, yeah, that, that was not, yeah, that was not a composition.
And this next one will not be composition either.
Which is kind of the discourse. Todd didn't want to chat, but I will chat. So Josh and I have worked together for a very long time. I'm a composer. And I always do music. Josh always does the visuals. We've done performances, installations. We've done a whole series of iOS apps. We do all sorts of crazy things. And I always do music. But always does the visuals. It all makes sense. It's easy. But Josh started getting to do audio. And he was very insistent for this show that I perform. I don't like to perform because I don't have total control over everything. I especially don't have total control over Josh's software. And so I thought of all these ways of getting out of doing this. One of which I was going to make Josh perform. I gave him some samples he was going to work with, and that didn't work. It's true, it didn't work. And then I had the idea, okay, well, I'm a composer. I'll do a very structured thing. I'll send data to Josh's software, and it'll all, you know, be very ordered and controlled the way I like it. And then I came here last week when Josh was doing his you know, workshops in the afternoon to test things out, and I started just messing around with it. Josh has always been very insistent that SuperDraw is an instrument, and I kind of ignored that for a long time. And I started playing around, just like jamming with Daniel and Josh were here. This is so much fun. It's totally an instrument. Like, you just kind of want to rock out and jam on it. And it really pains me to admit that Josh is right, but I think that was, and I finally decided that was the way I wanted to approach this, is I'm just going to mess around and have fun. And we wanted to talk a little about the pros and cons of improvisation, like the hazards of it.
Right.
Particularly with high-tech stuff. It's dangerous. Like, it could go horribly wrong. Your controller could stop working. Like, yeah. Like Todd's, I mean, you could just not find good material. So it's hazardous. And as a, you know, a composer, someone who likes to control everything, it's very against my nature. But I think it's also good to do.
And you have, so Ken, like Todd had some presets that he had created from the original patch. And Nate also, when Nate built his piece, I think everybody who did this did kind of an improvisation that was either recorded or takes over and over. I think that's where that idea comes, that interesting thing comes from, is because everybody comes with a different thing. So Nate made presets.
Yeah.
Todd also had a couple of presets, which I think from your perspective, when I do this, they end up being kind of starting points if I get lost.
Yeah.
I make them as backups for myself when I'm improvising, because I prefer to improvise, but when I'm really lost or I really have no more ideas, I have these sort of backup presets that I can move through. And
I got nothing.
You got
nothing. Actually, are we reset to the past here?
Yeah.
Reset to the past. Because what I'm doing is I'm just like zeroing out all the controls and starting from nothing and hoping I can figure something out with it. So I think that's totally down. I haven't used the pen yet, so that's going to be interesting. So yeah, I'm just gonna mess around because I feel like this is what's fun with SuperDraw. Again, this is exactly what I resisted in it, was just this idea that it's supposed to be like an instrument you play. I keep in mind, I've been playing this instrument for a week. I don't know what I'm doing, but it's really fun. So I'll just play. You know,
yeah,
and
I think that's another note, is that nobody was given a huge amount of time to
yeah.
learn what is actually,
we got this
time to be very complicated.
Less than
we want,
I feel like.
instrument, which I think I've learned a lot.
Yes,
yeah, that's probably what it looks like.
It's user friendly for your performance.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'll play around. We'll see what happens. I gotta remember what the controls do. Thank you.
sine wave, and so there's this edge. It creates this edge in that squiggly line. And what that edge sounds like is this weird like sound that like when you're playing these notes and the note is moving across the thing, you get this sound as it, and I love it.
Yeah.
I love that so much. Nobody's complained about it. I said that, but one of these controls actually shifts where that sound is in the waveform.
Yeah.
And like,
see, well, this is, I think, also the advantage you have. I mean, I had a point in that what I was playing there where there was, I was really happy with where I was going, and then I turned the wrong knob and I lost it, and I couldn't get back to where I was. And I think you have a better sense of like, oh, okay, I just need to fix this and do that.
Yeah, I mean, when I perform, I kind of, one way I was always thinking of it is as recipes.
You're right.
Recipes of these, because each one of these knobs is controlling an algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
And the algorithms are all interacting with each other in sometimes completely unpredictable ways. I definitely have things like this where I discover something completely new in my performance, which I think you just did. That I've never seen that thing do some of those things.
Yeah.
Which I that's why I was excited about this patch in the first place, is that every time I sit down and play with it, I feel like I find something new.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do know a little bit more. Like, I have the advantage of knowing what those
are. You can bring it a little more. Well, I would say you've seen the amateurs, now see the professional. Right? You ready to play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
I have a question.
When
I have a question. What is this low note that is coming in and out of
that is a synthesis.
It's sort of part of the conceptual thing that Josh knows. It's the air conditioner.
It's
really a pump on the roof.
Yeah, it's the moisture pump of the air conditioning.
Wow. Okay. it's so in line with the type of sounds that are coming
out.
It works for some stuff, but the decision, unfortunately, is either no air conditioning or
for my show, we did
no, it seems like it's seems like a nice addition.
I would love to live without it.
One other question.
Yeah.
One of the pipe dreams was music and visuals to be created at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening here.
Yeah, it's it is my obsession, and it is I sort of achieve that.
They're both kind of happening at the same. It's not like music is accompanying visuals or visuals accompanying music. This is simultaneous.
Yeah, it's simultaneous. It's academically debatable whether what simultaneity actually is. Is the code actually generating both at the exact same time? Not quite yet. It is still my obsession to actually have one function generate a sine wave that is happening both visually and aurally. And I actually have kind of a path and a pipeline for how I want to do that. In this case, what's happening is the graphics are generated on a graphics thread, and that graphical information is sent to the audio thread, which is looking at aspects of the graphics and creating the sound from the graphics. So it's not exactly at the same time.
We're talking nanoseconds.
It's nano and micro.
But we're not talking about weeks of a composer showing a visual person.
So the really interesting thing about this idea of generating both things at the same time is I work with Morten Subotnick on some of his education software, and I showed this work to him. Couple weeks ago, like 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he I was very excited to show this stuff to him, and I really, you know, I look up to him. You know, he's sort of the major player in creating all this stuff, and he is someone who thinks about these things and who really kind of is passionate about them. And I showed him my work, and he proceeded to tell me, to basically ask, why are you doing this? This is a terrible idea. His point was that I was removing, by tying them together so strongly, I remove an expressive quality of having having those things vibrate against each other or be different.
Hmm.
And he's right. He's right about that. I think, though, that I'm choosing to still be obsessed with this, and I'm trying to send him more and more stuff to see, because I wanna get to the point where I'm generating them both at the same time, and I come out the other side where it's creating something that's actually kind of a new language rather than it needs
different
to be
animal.
Sunset with
yeah.
with horse sounds or
right.
you know
right.
Something like that. So it was really great talking to him and having him kind of shoot it down like this. And Ken will.
Who
yeah,
are you talking about?
Morton Subotnick.
Oh, okay.
Do you know him?
Yeah, I know who he is.
Yeah, Ken will tell you. I
there was some counseling.
There was some counseling after that conversation. But it's good. I mean, being what the value in Mort's feedback there was that he truly like was giving me really honest feedback. He wasn't like trying to sugarcoat it or anything. I think his exact words were, "It's a bit Mickey Mouse, isn't it?"
Fascinating.
Yeah. And then he's like,
ironic.
I didn't want to say that because it's too harsh. I'm like, you just did. No, more. And then he proceeded to give me a whole bunch of examples of himself playing his instrument that he had. Like, we were sitting in his office, so he was playing these little riffs of what he was working on. And it was beautiful. It was a wonderful moment. So yeah. All right. I'll do something. So I'm also kind of not. I really don't have any structure here. But I have been playing with this thing, and I now know some nice things that it can do. So yeah, let's see if I can find any of that stuff.
Thank you.
interested. There's more happening in this plasticity of it. We continue on Sunday, and then after that, there's three more things next week. It's all listed on the website.